I've made the heart-wrenching decision to suspend my campaign and to support President Trump.
Robert F. Kennedy has decided to suspend his campaign and will now begin actively campaigning with President Donald J. Trump to form the Unity Party, which will focus on ending the war in Ukraine, ending censorship, and restoring the American food supply chain. But does RFK not only bring enough supporters to guarantee a win for the Republican nominee, but also enough personal and political clout to make these promises come true once in office? I'm Skynell Hughes, and this is Perspective. RFK Jr. says he has formed a unity party with President Trump, where he will support and work with initiatives inside the Trump campaign, which addresses a few critical points, including ending the forever wars, ending childhood disease epidemic, securing the border, protecting freedom of speech, unraveling corporate capture of regulatory agencies, and stopping intelligence agencies from propagandizing, censoring, and surveilling Americans, and barring them from interfering in U.S. elections. Almost all of these sound like familiar points from the American First agenda. So RFK's endorsement of former President Trump over Democrat nominee Kamala Harris seems like an easy choice. However, were RFK supporters formerly those of President Trump who were disenfranchised following Trump's first term? And if so, are they now more likely to put their confidence back into Trump just because RFK told them to? Let us discuss with our panel. First, we have Desi K. Robinson, political commentator and health professor. We have Steve Malzberg, political commentator and radio host. And Angie Wong, political analyst and Republican delegate from Florida to the RNC. Thank you so much for joining me on this show. Angie, let's start with you. What do you think is the main reason why RFK support an endorsement of President Trump? And do you think this proves he was going to damage Trump's campaign if he would have stayed in the race?
Oh, no, it's the two Camelots coming together. You have the Kennedy clan as well as Trump's family coming together. This is like the dynasty we're talking about. This is what TV ratings love. And I think, you know, if RFK Jr. can bring not only himself, his campaign, but also the donors, as well as perhaps, you know, some of his supporters over, that would be fantastic. I think Trump's going to have a lot of fun with this. He knows that, you know, RFK Jr. brings a lot to the table. We're going to see politics at a very heightened level now between these two. So I look forward to seeing what Trump's going to get out of him. We're already hearing that Trump wants to start a commission with him where he heads the assassination attempt commission. I mean, come on, you get Kennedy and Trump on one ticket that way. I think this works.
Desi, but that is the question that I have to ask. You know, Kennedy does, RFK does bring something to the ticket, at least from the conservative standpoint. But was he ever really anything to the Democrats besides just his last name and the overall family? The majority of the Kennedy family has already denounced RFK even endorsing Trump and being involved.
Well, the only thing I think he's really bringing to the Trump presidency or the attempt at a presidency is more weird. I think that he's going to go right along with that bunch. And I don't think there was very much difference. I think the trafficking in of conspiracy theories, I think he was really more of a fly in the ointment. And I'm not sure how much of a bump Trump is going to get from him. I think that many people who were waffling were disillusioned with both parties. And so he served as maybe a bit of an alternative for people who were disillusioned with Trump. But I'm not sure if it's going to be much of a bump. You're not getting Camelot here. You're getting a person who, brings a great deal of controversy, which could be fun, you know, for the Trump campaign. Brainworms, conspiracy theories, you know, anti-vaxxing. I think that's what he's going to bring. And folks who love that, you know, will get a kick out of that. But I don't think it's going to be really much of a bump on that side.
Well, that's interesting, Steve, because you are even hearing the latest story has been that I think he beheaded a whale, according to an ex-girlfriend. I mean, you are getting a lot of these silly stories that are coming out. Eating a dog, I think it was a couple of weeks ago that RFK did. From your perspective, Malzberg, and I know it's going to be hard for you to look at it, but what could be a downside to having RFK a part of the ticket?
Well, the way the media portrays RFK. I mean, he already, on the day that he announced that he was supporting Donald Trump last Friday in, where the heck was it? I forget where it was. He compared himself to Ross Perot, who ran for the presidency as an independent in 1992. He said the mainstream media put Ross Perot in 10 months, put him on 34 times, 34 interviews. He, Robert Kennedy Jr., has had three from the mainstream media, three interviews. They mock him. You left out the bear that he dumped in Central Park. Ha, ha, ha. What a crazy person. And our guest here, with all due respect, oh, more weird. I mean, if this was Kamala Harris, and reportedly there are some reports he went to Kamala Harris first and she said no, but if this was Kamala Harris, it would be, oh, my God, Kennedy and Harris, a wonderful, grow, you know, Camelot too. But of course, it's all crazy, crazy Kennedy with crazy Trump. So that's why I think the impact will be not as great as it might have been if Kamala Harris had said yes on her part.
But that's one of the things, Desi, that Molesworth does bring up. You know, it's not only that she said no, she didn't even take his calls, or some of the rumors that we've heard about RFK when he was calling both campaigns to see if he had a spot for him. Do you wish that at least the Democrats and Kamala Harris campaign would have at least listened to him, at least talked to him? Do you even want to lose any amount of voters at this stage?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of a loss it will be to not include him in any conversations or any part of the Democratic ticket. I don't think that he was a serious Democratic contender anyway. I think, like I said earlier, I think he was a fly in the ointment. Again, this is not Camelot. I think that if the Harris-Waltz ticket had embraced him in some way to have conversations, that, of course, is always, you know, preferable that there are conversations. But he is an unserious person. And so I think he went to the side that represents unseriousness. And so I don't think that I don't think there would have been any sort of switch or turn if the Waltz Harris ticket had embraced him, that this would be, oh, Camelot. I think that Democrats were clearly not in alignment with his campaign. His family has denounced not just his run for president and what he stood on in his nonsense platform, but also his decision to support Trump has also brought more heat and fire from that family. And again, I think it's more of a conversation that will live in the media as a bit of entertainment rather than anything serious.
Steve?
The Democrats, the party of democracy, which is the biggest joke of all, Kamala Harris has never gotten one vote to be where she is. They fought tooth and nail to keep RFK off the ballot in the primaries. They refused him, a Kennedy, Secret Service protection. They did everything they could. And the Kennedy family must be out of their minds, because this man is more like JFK and RFK than the clowns that are parading around as the ticket now. Look what JFK stood for: lower taxes, strong military, everything a conservative Democrat these days would stand for compared to these radical progressive nut jobs. So I don't know what the Kennedys have been smoking, but that's their problem.
Well, it's interesting.
The whole Desi. Kennedy family.
Yeah, and at least that's something we can agree on. But I want to get to this fact that there's this personal element because of the family. RFK's race, his family history with the intelligence community, we can all admit, I think, has been very strained.
And this is a tribute in honor of Bobby. I am announcing tonight that upon my election, I will establish a new independent presidential commission on assassination attempts. And they will be tasked with releasing all of the remaining documents pertaining to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
Angie, you kind of alluded to this in the very start, but I want to get your take on this, Steve. What would be the reaction, the pushback, if RFK was tapped to lead the CIA? What do you think his main objection would be?
Oh, absolutely. I think that that would be an amazing pick. I think that both families, both the Trump family as well as the Kennedy family, what other two families in American history has suffered more from this, right? Who knows more deeply about this? It's a bit of a taunt for sure, but certainly I think Americans want to know, and they may even use this as a reason to vote for the Trump ticket. So I think this is a great move on President Trump's part.
Okay, so Steve, do you think President Trump is actually serious, though, about going after the CDC and the FDA, as RFK has alluded as one of his priorities in his endorsement speech on Friday when he said this?
Millions and millions of Americans who want clean air, clean water, and a healthy nation have concerns about toxins in our environment and pesticides in our food. That's why today I'm repeating my pledge to establish a panel of top experts working with Bobby to investigate what is causing the decades-long increase in chronic health problems and childhood diseases.
Steve?
I think he's serious, absolutely. And I think this second time around, this would all be part of draining the swamp. I mean, he talked about that the first time and didn't do a great job on it. I think this time he is dead set on doing exactly what he said. And I think having RFK Jr. on there, who better to go after the swamp issues? He can't fire the people, but the swamp issues that need to be addressed. And these are some of them. And I think he's dead serious about this.
Well, RFK seems to be in agreement because he has said this.
And don't you want a president that's going to make America healthy again? Thank you all very, very much, and God bless you, and God bless America.
So, Desi, this kind of goes to you, because some see the joining of Trump and RFK as a full assault on the deep state. Do you agree with this? Because neither one of them have holdings to any politicians in the past. And do you think this is a goal that potentially spans political party lines?
I think the only thing that really spans political lines and party lines is, you know, the rooting out of corruption, sure. But the fact that this former president can stand there and talk about the health of air and children, I'm literally trying to hold myself together from laughing. I mean, this is a man who has said that wind energy is killing whales and killing birds, when we all know that cats are really more of a detriment to birds than anything. It's absolutely ridiculous that a man who has suppressed and ignored COVID is looking to widespread protect people against disease. It is laughable. And the fact that he would bring in someone who has shuttled in conspiracy theories to attend to Central Intelligence is also laughable. A person who has endorsed the notion that antidepressants are linked to school shootings and that vaccinations are killing people, and that I could go on and on and on about the conspiracy theories, but it just makes absolute folly to think that a person who has shuttled in conspiracy theories should head a Central Intelligence Agency, and that a president who ignored COVID until he absolutely could not is concerned with health, and who has said that wind energy is killing whales and birds is now all of a sudden concerned with the environment.
Malzberg, I know you have a response to that, so let's just hold off, because after the break, we are going to continue this conversation about RFK and his announcement, and if it was purposely timed to curtail the momentum Kamala Harris had out of the Democratic National Convention. Welcome back to Perspective. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, your host. And I always find it funny when political karma decides to strike. Now, following the close of the Republican National Convention, we all remember President Joe Biden almost immediately stole all the headlines and the momentum by announcing that he had decided not to seek re-election and that Kamala Harris's name was quickly pushed to the top of the ticket. Now, before the delegates from the Democrat National Convention could even make their way home, Robert F. Kennedy decided he, too, was going to pursue the highest office no longer and was proudly endorsing Donald Trump for president. Now, this move could see those valuable independents or politically disenfranchised voters casting their ballot for Trump. But is Kamala Harris going to relinquish those voters so quickly? Well, I want to bring back in our panel to discuss. We have Desi K. Robinson, political commentator, health professor. We have Steve Malzberg, radio host and political and media commentator, as well as Angie Wong here in studio with me, political analyst and was a Republican delegate to the RNC from Florida. Let's start with you, Angie, on this. Do you think Kamala Harris can win by just re-engaging the Democratic base like she tried to do during the DNC?
Well, they certainly are trying to push her forward, right? She does have the momentum. I was afraid she wasn't going to have that,
but she
does.
She's having the rallies like Trump is having.
Absolutely.
She's filling the rooms.
Even though they're supposedly AI-generated, but still, let's forget that point.
Talking about conspiracy theories. No, we're not going that route.
No, okay, we won't go there. But, no, she has just, remember, we're only 70 days out from the election, and we're less than that. We're only about 2 or 3 weeks from early voting starting. That's happening really, really quick. She's able to manufacture and her momentum. And I think if she can stay quiet, she probably may have a good chance at least leveling up with Trump. And a lot of the polling is saying that they're in single digit competitions right now. So it's frightening that what's happening, but she was able to do that in a very short time. And I think Trump's team should be worried about it.
And that's it. Well, Desi, do you feel like Kamala Harris is actually trying to appeal to independent crossover voters, or is she just trying to get her own base re-engaged after what Biden had not successfully done this past year?
Yeah, I don't know if it's either or. I think that there's definitely a push now to engage as many folks as possible. I agree with Angie that it is an incredibly close race. I think she has been able to amass a great deal of excitement for what would be seen as a very historic win. I think that the campaign, the DNC, really tried to bring in folks who, you know, Oprah Winfrey was one of the sort of shining examples of an independent who was trying to engage independent voters. And so I think it's there, definitely. I think there are going to be some swing states, and there are going to be some places that are going to be really tough nuts to crack. I think ultimately it will be a very close race.
Well, it's interesting. Now, Desi, I just have to ask, why do you think Oprah is a independent? Do you see her as an independent? I've seen her as a Democratic, even endorsing Trump 20 years ago, saying they should work as a team together. I've always put her in the Democrat candidate. Do you really see her more as an independent? Is it independent from politics, maybe? Not necessarily politically?
Well, you know, I can't speak for her, but I have definitely seen her in several interviews, identifying herself as an independent. She has said that she has voted for both Republicans and Democrats in the past. I think her stepping up, she doesn't speak very often in terms of endorsing folks. When she has, it has been, I have seen Barack Obama, Stacey Abrams, Kamala Harris. And I think when she feels strongly about people who are going to make significant change within this country, to rally people, to fight for democracy, to make sure that unheard people are heard, I think she speaks up.
It's interesting on that one. And Steve, I know that you were going to say something at the end of the last segment. I want to make sure that I get your thoughts on it.
But I got Steve going.
You got Steve going, which is great, because we love when Steve actually, he's not going to hold anything back. That's the one thing no one will ever accuse him of biting his tongue. But that being said, do you think this endorsement by RFK actually blunted the DNC convention and gave back some of that momentum that was stolen away from President Trump heading into this last phase of the campaign?
Well, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the DNC was a media event, like the RNC was a media event. And again, RFK, his endorsement was downplayed. It was mocked. He was mocked. So when the average person gets their news and they hear about this, there's no excitement in the endorsement the way there would have been if he had endorsed Kamala Harris. You know, I just laugh, though. I mean, who is Kamala Harris? What did Oprah say about Kamala Harris? You know, the DNC was a whole bunch of rich people getting up there knocking rich people. How dare people succeed? You know, you got people like Oprah who should be taxed, who should feel guilty, who should give money back, who shouldn't be allowed to succeed too much. But there they are, the Obamas, Oprah, they're telling people how much money they should make and what they should do with their money. Not like us, but like you. It's a farce. It's a joke. And her campaign, it's not a campaign. She's had no campaign. She's had scripted events where she repeated the same thing from the teleprompter over and over, like two or three or four of them. And he came out pounding his chest and lying. Lying. But now they say his dog that he poses with is a lie. They keep finding lie after lie. This guy is a phony, lying person. But, oh, we all know people like him. Oh, he's just your average coach. He wasn't a coach. Coaches, assistant coaches don't win state championships. Oh, who are you? Oh, you ever hear a Super Bowl? They take the assistant coach and say, he won the title. No, never. But Tim Walls, he won the state championship as an assistant. Who was the coach? We don't know. He won it. This is made up media crap. And that's what Trump is up against. And he better know how to fight back.
Oh, I think Steve is not, it's safe to say Steve is not going to be on Tim Walz's Christmas card list. And is definitely not heading up his fan club. But Desi, to that point, you also had Tulsi Gabbard who's come out. And she is a former Democrat congresswoman. Now, she has been on Fox. And over the past few years, obviously, has gone more to the conservative right-leaning media and found them to be more friendly to her. But you are seeing more Republicans, probably than ever before, actually coming back out and endorsing some of the Republican candidate, or Democrats endorsing this Republican candidate. Should Democrats be concerned?
I don't think so. I don't think they should be concerned in that sense. I think that, over the weekend, over 200 folks who have worked with George W. Bush and across Republican leadership have come out in support of Kamala Harris. And so I think that there will definitely be surprise alliances and allegiances, but I don't think that's any reason to particularly be afraid. I think the thought of a Trump presidency is enough to scare people. I think that we are going to have a fight on our hands. I think we're going to have misogyny and racism at the forefront, because that's always the way that we can instill fear in people. And in terms of lies, well, nobody shepherds in lies the way that Donald Trump does. He's cornered the market on that. So I don't think you need to worry, Steve, about, who's going to take over in terms of dishonesties. I think that the Trump campaign has pretty much cornered the market on that.
Bill Clinton mispronounced Kamala Harris's name twice. Is he a racist? No, only Republicans who do it are racist.
Who purposely mispronounce her name.
This is where we're getting. But before we go, Angie, I've got to ask you, and I'm going to put you on the spot, because we talked about this in actually the makeup room earlier. What about the attention that RFK is getting? Is it taking away from J.D. Vance, who was under some fire and some heat these past 2 weeks for past comments being made? What do you think? How do you think J.D. Vance is viewing all of this attention going? Do you think he welcomes it, that this spotlight's now on RFK and his background?
Yeah, no, we were just talking about that, whether or not, I think RFK Jr. is having his moment, and it's great. Welcome to the party, RFK Jr. And, I don't think Trump's going to allow that to happen that much longer, because he's not on the ticket. Unfortunately, you're seeing all the graphics come up that he is on the ticket, that he's like a co-VP. No, I think RFK Jr. is going to milk every single second of his new celebrity within the Republican Party. And then, he's got to quiet down a little bit, because J.D. Vance is the future of the party.
Well, Desi K. Robinson, Steve Malzberg, Angie Wong, thank you so much for this lively conversation. I guarantee we will continue this conversation in the future, because while it's a short period of time to Election Day, we still have a lot of things to discuss. Thanks for joining me.
October surprises.
RFK Jr. is telling people to still vote for him on Election Day.
If enough of you do vote for me, and neither of the major party candidates win 270 votes, which is quite possible. In fact, today our polling shows them tying at 269 to 269. And I could conceivably still end up in the White House in a contingent election.
Well, if no candidate for president wins the majority of votes or reaches this magic number of 270 in an election, the 12th Amendment of the Constitution says the House of Representatives will elect the president, with the Senate choosing the vice. Now, this form of election is what RFK is referring to when he said contingent election. Now, it has been implemented twice in the nation's history. First, it was to elect the president in 1825, and second, to elect the vice president in 1837. But why would RFK bring up even the possibility of a contingent election? You know, the 12th Amendment says the House must choose amongst the top three vote-getters, which would automatically make RFK an option, considering he is not removing his name from all of the ballots. He is only doing this in 10 battleground states, thus making his supporters very valuable to both parties. One candidate is counting on support to matter, and the other is still hoping it really doesn't. But hey, that's just my perspective. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes. Thanks for watching.